My buddy texted and I was like, man, why are you texting me? It's the middle of the game. He was like, it's so cold, we went back to the hotel. Oh, yeah. It's 40 here. It's 20 there. It's a wave. Oh, and here's the thing, though, is only half the stadium has sun. So if you're not in that right half, if you're not in left field.
Yeah.
Or
a low. Yeah, or a low.
That'd be the best way to go.
Yeah, I've never been to the movie. Yeah. It's a real party. It's like around the world. It's the same party.
Tailgating?
Oh, yeah. There's only one death eight games of the year. Regular. Yeah, real low key. But opener and nuts.
That's your machine ready to go, Andrew?
All set.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the April 1st meeting of Orrville City Council. This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Chuck Davis. Would you stand with me, please?
I feel like this is my congregation almost, actually. That's all right. Let's pass the offering papers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this awesome, beautiful day that you've given us. It is the day that you've made. We rejoice together in that, Lord, and we are thankful for your word, and we declare your word over this city, Lord. And Daniel, it reminds us that the people that know their God will do great exploits, great tasks will be accomplished. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just bless this council, our mayor, Lord, all this leadership team with vision and mission. Lord God, help them to stay on the mission that God, you have placed them on. And Lord, help them to see a great vision for this city as we move forward. I pray that they would be the example for us of unity, and that we would put that unity in our community. So Lord, bless them, strengthen them, bless our businesses. May they thrive and prosper under your guidance and care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. We have roll call, please.
Chu.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Asperis Jr.
Here.
Hampshire.
Absent.
Asperis Sr.
Here.
Corkman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Everyone should have received a copy of the meeting minutes from March 18th. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Seeing none?
I move that those minutes are accepted as documents.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Larson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Asperis?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Abstain.
Asperis?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to our standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Asperis.
Thank you, Mr. President. We did, Council did pass final appropriations for 2019 a couple weeks back, and I see Mr. Wheeler has taken advantage of that. So, nothing more here, sir. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to utilities. Mr. Corkman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Lights are on, water's running, everything's fine with utilities.
Thank you. Health and safety, Mr. Spiros.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report for tonight.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a preview of our resolution tonight for some painting and minor repairs of the roof of the Orr Pool bathhouse. So Mr. Wheeler will have more details when that time arrives, I'm sure. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Transportation, Mr. Chu.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation has no report tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just an update for the folks at home. We are in the process of redoing evaluating and consolidating, fixing our zoning regulations. If you have ever seen those, I don't think anybody really wants to see those, but it's about three binders, about yay big. and they are very convoluted, so we're going through a process. Very shortly we'll have public meetings, invite the public to see or to hear, to talk about what we've changed and consolidated. We're about 9 months in the process, and hopefully it will be easier for a citizen to look into what we need to have them do or they need to do to do whatever they want to do with their house or business or street or what have you.
Thank you.
Other than that, no report.
Okay, thank you. Move to ordinance and personnel. Mr. Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and personnel has not met and has no report.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports tonight. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Hanford.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to mention that our employee of the month for April is Mr. Vern Sechrest from the Service Department. Vern was hired as a mechanic in July of 1990, which if you do your math well, you'll know that he's approaching 30 years at the job down there and has done a great job for us. I don't know if he's got plans on leaving right at 30 or not. I know we've got quite a few in that area of their employment all over the city now. His job is maintaining a variety of pieces of equipment and vehicles. He's the primary mechanic assigned to the general maintenance of the police department's cruisers. He also has the responsibility of maintaining a vast array of lawnmowers, weed eaters, chainsaws used in the cemeteries, parks, and also the street department when they need the equipment. Vern is married to his wife, Carmen, who has been most days seen lately helping manage at the Dairy Queen here in Oroville. And they have three sons that are triplets, and they're all 25 years old. Vern enjoys playing in the Masters Basketball League as a hobby and to keep him active. And we'll be having lunch at a really cool place in Key West. Oh, that's April Fool's Day. It'll be at Jerry's. I'm sure it'll still be warm and sunny there. Right. That'll be this week, Friday, I think. Also, I wanted to mention that when we had our severe weather a few weeks ago, the tornado warning, had two separate residents mention that they were unable to hear the sirens. I'm sure that there's probably more than two that couldn't hear that. We didn't hear it. We were in our family room watching TV, but we were also watching all the weather that was going on with all the forecasts. And I think we're going to look into that and see. Mr. Wheeler and I have talked, and he's talked with Chief Bishop. Ours are probably getting to an age where they should be getting checked to make sure that they're as loud as they could be. We have four of those located right now. One is at Fire Station 2, which would be out by the cemetery. One is at Beaver Street Park, so that'd be more in the south end of town. One out on Collins Boulevard, which would be the First Industrial Park out there. And then one at the Pine Street Garage, which is down where the police park their vehicles now. So a little building down there. So those were spread out pretty much the way they should be. Our city has grown some over the years. It could be that we need more than four of them, but we'll do some checking. They're not cheap by any means, and so that's something we'll have to consider. We talked there may be some possible grants out there that we could look into. And we may find out that they're loud enough the way they are. I think some people think that no matter what you're doing, you're going to be notified and you're going to hear that siren. And if you're in your basement wood shop working away with tools or something and those go off, chances are you're not going to hear them. Or if you're like me and you're hard of hearing, you might not hear it if you're supposed to be hearing it. But they're not going to be heard by everybody. The main idea is anybody that's outside would know right away, well, there's something going on. And I think anybody that's outside all over the city would hear those, whether they were out. Of course, if it's bad weather, chances are they're going to have already seen that something's coming. But there's always the chance it would come up real quick. But just to let people know, we will check into that and see what can be done. And may not be anything we could do this year, but maybe it is. We'll have to just see what happens. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
We'll move to our Safety Service Director. Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Carbo is back out doing some punch list items. They're the contractor from the asphalt overlay for South Walnut, East Paradise, Denise Chestnut. There's some driveways that they're kind of redoing, so if you see them out and about, just punch list items from last fall. Rails of Trails, that phase that started in the fall, the contractor's back out getting that work wrapped up as well. There's still some asphalt there to do as well, so they'll be here for the next few months, but they are back on site. We have selected the consultant that will oversee the construction on the ODOT Pine Street project, so now it's just a matter of getting a contract signed with them and getting the pre-construction meeting scheduled. And once we have a firm date on when the work will start, definitely we'll pass that on to council. And just one or two pieces of legislation on the agenda tonight, so I'll get to those when we get to those. That's my report for this evening.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to our utilities director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of update items. In the water department, we did award a contract to Clear Creek Coatings. They're out of New Carlisle, Ohio, to rehab the south water tower. That contract amount was for $221,700. We're still continuing the work on High Street. If you've been on that street, you know we do have traffic restricted. We're in the process of getting ready to bore underneath the railroad tracks east of Dairy Queen. We did have a water service interruption on customers from Ella to Tummel's Pine Street today. That was a communication error on our part. We take responsibility for not notifying our customers. Our contractor was concerned over a section of pipe that we put in that had a valve that wasn't constrained enough, and he was concerned when we repressurized that line that we could have damaged that line, and we failed to communicate the possibility of lowering water pressure and restricting water flow to a handful of customers along there. We will fix that so we talk a little bit better. Couple other items, I did leave a handout on your desk concerning some industry announcements concerning electric vehicles. We see more and more interest in those on TV and then in some communities. You'll see a lot of major manufacturers on a lot of their plans over the next handful of years. As the popularity of those come into play and they start coming into our communities, that'll be an area that not only us but the electric utility industry and as a whole will have to deal with. Our distribution systems aren't designed to handle the large electrical loads that will be required for these charging stations, and that will have to be looked at and planned somewhat in advance as that popularity grows. We will see, for example, the charging stations, especially the fast charging stations that are out there now, would require a transformer connections to your homes two or three times what exists today. So imagine right now we have one transformer that may feed one to four homes. We may find that it's only adequate for a single home going forward, as well as a lot of our wire sizing going forward. So those charging stations require huge amounts of energy that we'll have to plan for and address in the future. The other item is just a mark your calendar item. Our state association AMP will be hosting, along with the Ohio Municipal Electric Association, a legislative day down in Columbus, Ohio. This is similar to the APPA legislative rally that the mayor and I recently attended in Washington, D.C., where we got to meet with our elected officials on the Hill. This is an opportunity for us, our councils, and our boards to meet with our elected officials down at the State House. That is tentatively planned for May 29th from 10 to 3 p.m. The general lay of the day is there will be some update meetings in the morning, and then sometime after lunch in the afternoon, we will hopefully have visits scheduled at either over to the the State House itself or in one of the state office buildings adjacent to the State House to meet with our state senators and representatives. There will be some information come out in the Amplifier newsletter, certainly as we get some more details. But if you have some interest in that, let us know and we'll make some arrangements. But right now, I just wanted to throw that date out for you and keep that out there. As soon as we get some details a little bit closer, I'll let you know some more information later on. And with that, that would conclude my comments tonight, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Berger, the AMP OEMA rally, are there white papers out on this yet?
There will be. Yeah, we'll have some similar talking points, similar to what we had for the bill. So we will have a list of topics that we'll be discussing with our folks. Okay. And some of these have been topics that we've been talking about since the first year, certainly with the change in the new administration. Certainly the biennial budget is up this year. We have some things that have been on the radar, specifically threats to home rule, kilowatt-hour tax, just to name a couple of those.
Okay.
So there will be some information that will be coming out ahead of time that will kind of tee up our discussions and anything specific that is hits our community directly, we'll certainly provide that information to.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, Mr.
Getting back to the water project on High Street, are they digging the huge holes on the railroad for the boring machine?
That is correct.
Is the machine here yet? Are they starting to bore?
The machine is here, to my understanding. They were planning on starting to bore this week.
Okay. Why did they jump to the north side of the street from the south side where everything else has been?
Our water line cuts.
It cuts across.
I've
had people ask.
A little bit before that intersection.
So that's why they've jumped over that side.
We actually come down a little bit left of center on the westbound lane. So you'll see in front of Rite Aid, we're cutting out a slot that's
CVS.
CVS on. Thank you.
Yeah. Are they giving you any time frame when that'll be completed?
They are expecting to be substantially completed by the middle of this month. That means the line in, line tested, and most of the taps made. They're running a little bit behind, mainly due to weather and the late start. The last update that Mr. Fetty gave me that they are hoping to be all done the first part of June. As soon as the weather breaks and the asphalt companies open up, we're planning on digging out all that backfill material and start putting those temporary repairs on the streets, coordinating that with the street department. There are a couple of intersections that will be reconcreting. Again, we're waiting for that weather. So as soon as the weather starts breaking on that there, we will start and get those temporary repairs done as soon as possible.
Yeah, because I'm more concerned with getting both lanes open there on that section between the railroads so that we can open up the intersection of High Street.
When they engaged down that road, it was on the assumption that once they got the pits opened up, that they were ready to come in right behind that with the boring equipment. There's been a delay in getting that in here earlier, so all that's coordinated. It's my understanding that they're supposed to have that done by the end of the week.
A couple of weeks yet, then, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Berger, there was a letter that came out from your office in regards to the Dominion East Ohio. It looks like those guys are looking, they're soliciting a PUCO for infrastructure or capital funding approval. Does that affect us as a carrier?
Not directly. They have a number of infrastructure projects that they're reaching out to get some approval for. At this time, none of those projects have an impact on the transmission line that comes into this area.
Right.
I wish it did because we have restrictions. not only in basically Wayne County. If we have a large natural gas user come into the county, Dominion has some service constraints.
So it would lift those restrictions if this went through?
The projects that they that they are looking at, this is not one of them. No.
Okay.
This is other parts of their system.
Okay. Not affecting us.
Not affecting us.
Okay. No. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Prediger.
You're welcome.
Well, move to our finance director, Ms. Stremlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll save my comments for my annual report.
Okay. Thank you. And our law director, Ms. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually do have something to say this evening. One of the big parts of my responsibilities are doing Sunshine Law questions, open record, public records requests. Various departments frequently ask me for help with that. And in conjunction with that and the Ohio Attorney General's office, we've brought them for Sunshine Law training here in Oroville. They're going to be at Schmidt Hall on April 9th. I think I've maybe mentioned that before several months ago when we wrangled them into coming here. This is by far going to be the most convenient location. They are not anywhere close to Oroville, probably a couple hours away for all the other meetings. I do attend every year, and I do attend as a representative for all of the elected officials here in Oroville, so you are covered because of my attendance, but I thought if somebody was interested in attending, this would be a nice, convenient time. It's from 1 to 4:15 p.m. on April 9th, which I think is a Thursday?
Tuesday.
So you do have a place to register through the Ohio Attorney General's office. It also covers open meetings. There's a short piece at the end of the public records training that covers open meetings. It does satisfy the requirement for newly elected officials, and as I said, I do attend as your representative, so you don't have to attend, but I wanted to bring to your attention that it's something that is going to be local, and I would love for there to be a strong turnout because we worked hard, Gene and I both worked hard to get them to come here. So that's all I have for you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Have you looking at the Sunshine Law and the open meetings, have you seen any major changes in the last 2 years? I think I attended 2 years ago. Was the last
no, there had not anything significant. They do put out a new yellow book every year, and it's online, but there have not been significant changes. There are going to be some changes coming down the pike with body cam footage, so that's something okay. That police chief and I have had some extended discussion about. That's coming actually the day before this meeting, so piece of interesting information about that goes into effect April 8th. So there's some things like that coming that are not quite here yet. As far as the open meetings information, there really rarely are changes to that.
Okay.
So.
And there still are seats available.
As far as I know, I just looked a little bit ago, and you can still register online, so I take that to mean that it's not closed.
Okay.
It's free. I didn't mention that. It's free to attend, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did want to thank Mrs. Kirkbride for helping bring that to Oroville. The last one I attended was in Worcester over at the OARDC. Before that, you're right, you got to travel several hours to get to one of these things. So just the fact that we have that here in Oroville, I think has been real helpful, or should be real helpful. And if we have a good attendance, then the folks that are in charge of those will understand why we wanted to have it here. If nobody shows up, then they're going to look at that and say, well, we won't do that again. So
yeah.
I think that we'll, you know, this goes for the whole area, so it's not just us that would be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any comments? Thank you, Mrs. Kirkwright.
Yes.
I have nothing to report this evening, and we have no old business this evening. But we do have quite a list of new business items. Mr. Larson.
Resolution 919. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Ms. Bears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Bears Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Resolution 919. a resolution authorizing participation in the ODOT road salt contracts awarded in 2019 for road salt for the city of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is our annual resolution to be a part of the ODOT salt bidding process for next winter. We did purchase 1,250 tons this year. Obviously, it was a busy winter for us, and we did use a majority of that. We are in good shape for the start of next year, but we obviously will need to make another purchase. We are most likely will go with the 1,250 again based on how this year went. It does not have to be approved tonight. It would need to be approved at the next meeting, though, in order to meet their deadline requirements.
What is the comments per ton?
This past year, it actually did jump quite a bit. It went from the prior year was $36.74. This year is $64.56. And we do anticipate it may be higher this year as well, though we're keeping our fingers crossed.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corbin.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Aspera Sr.?
Yes.
Corbin?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Aspera?
Yes.
I move resolution 919 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Aspera Sr.?
Yes.
Corbin?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Aspera?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Resolution 1019. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corbin.
Corbin?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Aspera Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Aspera Sr.?
Yes.
Resolution 1019, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into an amended contract and or contracts to provide for a job creation income tax credit for the J.M. Smucker Company and its subsidiaries and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler. Thank you, Mr. President. The J.M. Smucker Company approached us about consolidating their existing job creation tax credits. They had one approved in 2009, which was amended in 2013. Then they had the Big Heart Pet brand, which was completed in 2015. They're asking to combine those for a period of 5-year job creation tax credit. Just if I could go back, the 2013 credit was a 15-year credit. The 2015 credit was a 14-year credit. The 2013 credit was a 10%. 2015 was a 25%. So this request is for a 5-year the 22%, combining the two agreements. There are some real finite numbers in there in regards to there is a cap on the total amount of a salary or payroll that would be considered. That is new to the agreement. And the 22% is all obviously kind of new as well. They are doing some reorganization and consolidation, so they've requested this just in order to make everyone's lives a little easier. If you have questions per se about the revenue or what have you, I'm sure Ms. Strimlin can answer those. The J.M. Smucker representative could not be here tonight. He had a death in the family. He can attend next meeting if you prefer to wait for him to attend to answer any questions you might have. They're definitely very willing and open to do that. They did apologize profusely that they weren't able to attend tonight.
Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple questions. Mr. Wheeler, this 22%, that's 22% of the tax, the 1% tax collected from the employees, right?
Correct.
To the city. This previous abatement for Big Heart was only 10% instead of 20%, but the payroll was... From the numbers I'm looking at here, the payroll estimates then were going to be like $400,000 worth of tax revenue to the city.
Correct.
Now, these caps, are these where that amount is capping for our 1%? income tax rate?
It is, yes, it's capping for their payroll, which as a result would be at for our income tax rate.
That the 20% applies to?
Correct.
As far as the refund goes?
Correct.
So these numbers are a bit confusing, and this is
there's a lot of information there, sir, to say the least. It's a pretty complex agreement, one that Kristen worked on for us to kind of get clarification and make sure that it was revenue neutral for us, that it would not, you know, obviously would be a fair for both parties, and we feel like this is a fair result of that. The term also is obviously significantly shorter, so the agreement will not last nearly as long from that standpoint.
So you genuinely feel that this is revenue neutral for our part of this? This is not going to cost us more?
I do, or else I wouldn't have been agreeable, and I think Mr. Trimlin would agree as well.
And this also includes the 50% tax abatement on property tax to them?
No, it does not. That's a separate agreement. This is just the job creation tax credit portion.
Okay, so this is not combined. I thought the last one combined both the 50% tax abatement on real estate taxes and the payroll was a combination.
The payroll was a part of the original abatement for the property tax. That is correct. And it's just listed in there. The actual abatement is obviously for the building itself, which has been constructed.
Well, I was under the impression, though, on the other one, the state was basically forcing us to kick back the 10% because we were asking for a 50% tax abatement on the property tax. I thought this was all kind of combined with rules out of Columbus and what had been worked out.
The job creation tax credit is a part of Columbus. Columbus agreed this before they would even give it to us and said this is what we're doing. So they are a part of that process for sure.
Are we still kicking back half of our revenue to the property tax as we were before? So because we were out $200,000 basically back to the, I don't know if it was the school systems directly or
it
what.
It is the school system directly.
Plus the 10%, which was another $40,000 if it was $400,000 worth of tax revenue to us.
Correct.
Are we still kicking back the money as far as the lost revenue to the school?
If they exceed $1 million in payroll, which they will ultimately on the big, but it's only on the Big Heart brand now. That was the only agreement. So all these companies that are within this job creation tax credit are not part of that abatement. Just the Big Heart pet brand is the only thing part of that abatement. That building built specifically for that company, for the Big Heart portion, is what is being abated. So the Big Heart portion will be given to us, which it is as part of an annual report, which is what I had worked on last week. Those are due by the end of March. So that number from their payroll for Big Heart alone is what is considered when we consider the revenue sharing on the school side.
So
if they had, say, for instance, they had $2 million in payroll, then I'm just throwing a number out there, but yeah. then that 1% would be based on that $2 million, obviously, which would be $20,000, and then so $20,000 would go 50% would go to the school, which would be $10,000.
So we're going to still get 50% of what we get back to the school?
Only the Big Heart brand, though.
Only on the Big Heart
correct.
Brand. So is it still going to cost us about the same there?
No, it would be less because they've restructured.
Okay.
Yes.
But we're in return going to kick 20% back instead of 10% with this deal.
But yes, but we were given 25% originally to the J.M. Smucker Company. That was the 2013 agreement.
25%
of the job creation
tax collected from the employees was going.
Yeah, that was the agreement that was approved in 2009 and then amended in 2013.
Yes, I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, so this is the 22, which is why it's kind of, you know, less than 25, obviously, but more than the 10, obviously, but just to kind of summarize.
Okay.
So after all the math is done, Ms. Strumlin, what do we have to do with any of the appropriations? Amend any of the funding?
No, I don't anticipate that we'll need to amend anything for 2019.
Okay.
And as Director Wheeler mentioned, the caps are really beneficial for us. Fortunately for the city, Smucker's is an employer that continues to add employees to their base, and that can change significantly from year to year. And so having that cap will certainly help control our liabilities.
Okay.
Okay, I have one more question. Are you done?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. In here it talks about 600 new employees is what their target is, right?
Correct.
Is that starting from when this is signed, 600 more, or are some of these already employed?
600 would go back to the original agreement.
In 2009?
2009, amended in 2013, but also includes the 2015 Big Heart as well. And if you were to combine all those original agreements, though, from the beginning, it would have been 700 jobs from the beginning. So now they come back and ask for 600 jobs to be part of the agreement.
The Big Heart was supposed to be 400 jobs.
Correct. And between Big Heart and the J.M. Smucker, it was supposed to be 700 originally.
But they haven't even reached that yet at the Big Heart, have they?
Well, that's and they're consolidating, so it'll be 600 total between all of the above instead of the 700, which would have been the combined amount. But yeah, they have not reached that amount.
Over a five-year term.
Over 36 months. It's 3 years.
Have they given you any number of what to expect to add to this point forward?
Yeah, I don't know offhand what they have currently between all of the above.
I don't have all the entities as far as the employee counts.
I'm sorry.
I don't have the employee counts for all of the entities that are included. We go more on dollars than employee numbers. Employee numbers become significant when we have our reviews of these agreements, where we can see what employees they've retained, what they've added that are attributable to the EZ. That's when that item comes into play for us, since Big Heart was a completely new entity.
Okay.
Anyone else have any comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Second, Mr. Corbin.
Morrison?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Espiros Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Espiros?
Yes.
Corbin?
Yes. I move resolution 1019 be adopted as read.
Okay. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Espiros Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Espiros?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes. Resolution 1119. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Wilson?
Yes.
Espiros Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Espiros Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Resolution 1119, a resolution rescinding the contract and or contracts to provide for a job creation income tax credit for Big Heart Pet Brands and its subsidiaries and declaring an emergency.
Okay, you want to help us again?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. What we did was we amended the J.M. Smucker agreement and the prior resolution. So this rescinds the other job creation tax credit agreement with the Big Heart Pet Brands, since it is now consolidated into the amended J.M. Smucker agreement. So we obviously just want to get this one off the books.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Espiros.
Espiros Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Espiros Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes. I move resolution 1119 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Espiros Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Espiros Jr.?
Yes.
Resolution 1219. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Chu? Estrada Senior?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Junior?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes. Resolution 1219, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts for the 2019 Concrete Streets Project in the city of Orrville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are ready to go out for bid on the concrete streets as kind of one of our annual projects that we try to get done. We do have about $500,000 budgeted within our capital budget to spend. Engineering is complete. We are ready to go out for bids and hopefully get the project started before some of these other big ones come to fruition, to kind of so it's not quite as hectic throughout the town. Mr. Lau has worked with Mr. Shoup in regards to that list as the Transportation Committee Chair to make sure that everyone was on board. Hostetler, Derry, Heights, Lynn, Sunset, Maple, Collins, and West Market are the streets that we're targeting. Obviously, with $500,000, I can't promise we'll hit all of those, or at least hit all of those significantly. So West Market will kind of be as the money allows. We would like to get the other areas done, though, because they're obviously fairly critical.
Questions or comments?
And we've had extensive work on Hostetler the last couple of years. You're talking about a smaller section.
There's a section that obviously, and I'm sure everyone's noticed, has failed pretty close to the Save-A-Lot Plaza.
Right.
There's also an area there at Hostetler and Derry intersection that needs some TLC as well.
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
I move Resolution 1219 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Wheeler. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wheeler, you can try.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Resolution 1319. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Resolution 1319, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract and or contracts for engineering services for the 2019 Asphalt Streets Resurfacing Project and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Getting started on the bidding on concrete streets. We wanted to start the engineering on some of the other projects. Now that the capital budget has been approved, this would be the asphalt streets on South Elm, Beaver, North Crown Hill, and Magnolia. And again, Mr. Lyle's worked with Mr. Shoup to make sure that list was looked good. We do have $500,000 budgeted for these streets as well. So we want to get started on the engineering and get the project rolling. Ideally, it'll go out for bid pretty close to when the OPWC streets do, so we can kind of maybe take advantage of the potential for a contractor to be in town already that would be able to do that type of work and potentially bid on the project.
So are you going to be looking at quotes, Mr. Wheeler? This legislation says without bidding.
No, on the engineering, we're just going to have the, we've historically used engineering associates to give the estimates and then move forward with them to do the work.
Okay, you're talking about the pavement.
This is just the engineering.
This is engineering.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We'll definitely go out for the formal bidding process on the actual construction. And that'll be legislation that will be to you in the next couple of weeks.
Got it.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
I move Resolution 1319 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes. Resolution 1419. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Resolution 1419. A resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into a contract and/or contracts for engineering services for the Orr Street Improvement Project and declaring an emergency.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. This is a project that we also put in the capital budget. This would be a complete overhaul of just west of Apple to the corporate limits. Currently it's asphalt there. We would pull that up and completely make that concrete to the corporate limits. Obviously there's a significant amount of truck traffic in that area, so we think it would be in the long term beneficial to the health of the road as well as just the benefit to the community as well. This resolution tonight is just for the engineering to get moving on that so that we can get the project hopefully out the bid here soon.
Questions?
Are there any plans for, I know that there's a pretty significant ditch on the south side of the road there. Any plans for any closure there, or how will you?
We are going to look at some stormwater improvements. There's some basins there that we think we can tie into that potentially probably will be replaced as well as part of the project. So me and Mr. Lauer just speaking about that today as far as the potential for what we could do to kind of close that ditch up and get some stormwater into the ground.
Okay.
Yep. Anyone else?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Ms. Bear Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Bear Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes. I move Resolution 1419 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes. Resolution 1519. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes. Resolution 1519. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to procure quotes from various vendors and then enter into an agreement and or agreements without bidding to paint and or repair the roof of the Orr Pool Bathhouse at Orr Park in the city of Orrville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. As council is aware, we were fortunate enough to get a grant through the Ohio Department of Natural Resources with the aid of our state representative, Scott Wiggum, for improvements to the bathhouse. This is a major portion of those improvements. It'll be the painting, and we do expect there to be some repair in the skylight areas of there. We would like to get started on that project here fairly soon so we can have the project completed prior to the pool season, which still seems pretty far away after the snow yesterday, but it's closer than we think. So we are requesting the opportunity to go out for quotes from some local vendors and go from there so we can get the project started and hopefully beat the crowd on the painting contractors that are out there.
Questions?
move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of the resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Berkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
I move resolution 1519 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Berkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that completes our new business for this evening. Next, we have our finance department. Ms. Strimlin will give our annual report.
Pretty heavy, too.
What's that?
Pretty heavy. Hey, Alan, how are you doing?
Hey, guys.
Can I take care of this for you?
I'd like to go. I'd rather cut off my fingers, right? Truth be known.
I'm not sure I'll still have to
shoot.
For those of you that don't know, I'm Janet Strimlin, the finance director for the city. Tonight I'd like to present our annual report. The finance department maintains our city's accounting systems. We're also responsible for accounts payable, accounts receivable, payroll, investments, fixed assets, utility billing, and we also administer our local income tax. Similar to other government entities, we do use fund accounting to keep our money segregated. Orville has 40 funds. The focus of our presentation tonight will be on the five major funds. We'll briefly touch on some other areas, but we'll spend most of our time going over the general, capital, and the enterprise funds. The first slide shows the governmental funds. This is in a format very similar to the fund balance report that council receives on a monthly basis. The major government fund for the city of Orville is the general fund, located at the top. Also listed on the page, we have 20 additional special revenue funds that are included in the classification. As you look down through the funds, the majority had positive net income. There were a few, though, that did have negative net income, so I'd like to take just a minute and go over those. The first one is our gas tax MVL. It had negative net income, a little over $23,000. Revenue from that fund comes from our gasoline tax and also our motor vehicle registration fees. Expenditures are restricted to those for maintenance of specific streets within the city. And in 2018, the revenue did not cover the street maintenance costs. This is something that happens every year. These revenue sources cannot completely support our street maintenance, so we either pay out of this fund or our general fund. And in this case, we eroded into a little bit of the carryover balance. The law enforcement and the enforcement and education fund, we'll look at those combined. Those funds receive their income from fines or from the sale of seized contraband.
Revenue is generally about $4,000. We do try to utilize this fund and the revenue in it whenever possible rather than the general fund, but we are restricted to expenses that are related to law enforcement or educating the public about the dangers of drinking and driving. Last year we did spend a little over $5,000 on some breathalyzer repairs and maintenance, and also some items were purchased for police vehicles, and those expenses did exceed the revenue. The cemetery maintenance is another fund that had negative net income. Revenue in this fund comes from providing cemetery services such as the opening and closing of graves. Generally, the revenue is between $15,000 and $20,000. Permissible expenditures are limited to those for the upkeep or the beautification of the cemetery. And in 2018, we did repave the cemetery drives. That expense did exceed the revenue. We do still have adequate carryover balance. So again, we'll try to use these funds rather than the general fund when there's sufficient carryover and it's for a permissible purpose. If we move back then to the top, to the general fund, we did have positive net income of about $710,000. I want to take a closer look at the revenue and expenditures for the general fund. You can see in 2018, revenues were up about $800,000. 570 of that came from our income tax. Property tax was up slightly. Intergovernmental was down. Charters for services was up about $28,000. Just as a side note, $23,000 of that was attributable to our additional EMS receipts. Chief Bishop and I think also Director Reeler mentioned we have had a record number of EMS calls. That additional revenue from those services is reflected in that revenue category. Fees, permits, and other items was up about $150,000 when you compare it to 2017. The reason for this was the sale of the last available lots in the industrial park. Our investment interest did increase. We are continuing to see increases year to year. Still, we're down from our highest of a little over $1 million in investment interest that we received in 2007. Lodging tax has also increased. If we look at those revenue sources a little differently, hopefully this visual gives you a better impression of where the revenue comes from. Again, our primary revenue source is our income tax. It accounts for 74% of our total revenue. That is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the city and also funding our capital projects. If you break down that revenue a little further, you can see 69% came from withholding, 28% from business net profit, and 3% from individuals. This next slide shows revenue trends or compares revenues from 2012 to 2018. If you see, revenue from income taxes, both in 17 and 18, accounted for 74%, but the sources of that is a little different from year to year. Our withholding was down. Most of you know we did have one large business closure, and that did contribute to that decline in withholding. Our business tax was up. We collected almost $2 million last year in business tax. We had been averaging about $1.7 million over the last 5 years, so we are up from that five-year average. Property tax in the orange block, that fluctuates between 7 and 8%. Intergovernmental in the gold block above that, you can see where it's declined from 9% to 4% in the last 6 years. We all know the reasons for that, with the reduction in local government funding and the elimination of some other taxes. Charges for services in the green block is fairly consistent. And the red block, the other, in 17 and 18, that's a little higher than normal because both of those years we did have sales of lots in the industrial park. Let's see. Our administrative costs, they are up. Our expenditures. Last year, our expenditures were $5.8 million. They're up about 3% from the previous year. Just go down through the categories. Police expenses were up. Several reasons for that. We are providing a second resource officer to the schools. The schools are reimbursing some of the costs associated with the officer. That reimbursement is not reflected here. This is simply the expense side. We also had an increase in police for some of our professional contractual expenses. Streets, $99,000 higher. Again, several reasons. We purchased more rock salt, and we also had a slight price increase in 2018. We also purchased more asphalt. We resurfaced a parking lot. Overall, it's just reflective of all the roadway improvements that we continue to make throughout the city. Administrative is up for several reasons as well. Pogemeyer Design is working on our zoning code update, so we did have charges associated with that in 2018 that did not occur in 2017. We also, as we mentioned tonight, we have revenue sharing agreements with the schools. In 2018, we made payments to Orville City Schools of approximately $92,000 to cover our obligation, and that's reflected here. Those payments did not occur in 2017. Also in that administrative category, we did purchase a perpetual easement for highway purposes. That was about $51,000, and ODOT will be reimbursing that expenditure. Fire is down. We had several non-recurring payments that occurred in 2017 that, again, didn't happen in 2018. Cemetery, parks, and pools was up. That's basically a timing issue with the purchases of our chemicals for the pool and also mosquito control. City Hall increased slightly. That's due to some elevator repairs we experienced here at City Hall and also the purchase of the Vine Street property. Again, to look at the spending in a similar fashion to the revenue, 46% of annual expenses for 2018 were driven by the police and fire. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the fire. Chief Bishop mentioned in his report that we have the equivalent of approximately 9 full-time fire and EMS personnel. I think it's important to note that payroll for those individuals in 2018, including benefits, was less than $300,000. If those same individuals were truly full-time, that cost would be at least double that amount. So we just want them to know that we do appreciate their service to the city. The next area for expenses at 21% is a combination of many of our departments, administration, finance. This is where our income tax refunds are classified, as well as our revenue sharing and most of our other contractual items for the city. Next is streets at 19% of our annual expenses, followed by the cemetery, and then City Council, City Hall, and the Mayor's Office at 5%. This slide shows total spending for the year and the percentage of spending in each of the various categories for that year. When we look at trends, they're all fairly consistent with the exception of the debt service. In 2015 in this gold, we did pay off the industrial park early, and so that made for a slight change in these graphs. And finally, for the general fund, this is a recap of revenue compared to expenditures, as well as our year-end fund balances. The only year in recent history where expenditures exceeded revenue was in 2015, and again, that's the early retirement of the debt service for our industrial park. If we take a look at the revenue for the capital fund, the green block is grants. As you know, that varies from year to year. Blue is our income tax. We do a great job securing grant funding, but as you can see, the majority of capital spending is supported by our municipal income tax. If we take a brief look at the focus areas of those expenditures, you can see that the majority of our spending, indicated in gray, is for our streets. That's really been a focus of City Council in recent years, and that's certainly reflected here. The large percentage in this gold-yellow color, 23% in 16, that was for expenses related to rails to trails. That was also reimbursed partially to us. The next slide shows our proprietary funds. This includes all of our utilities and also our internal service funds. Wastewater across all funds had positive net income of a little over $500,000. Electric, positive net income of about $3.6 million. And water had positive net income across all their funds of about $248,000. The next few slides will take a look at each utility separately. I won't spend a whole lot of time on each of these since the utility director will be covering this in detail in his annual report at the next council meeting. But when you look at revenue for the electric utility, they did have a $2.8 million decrease from 17 to 18. That's largely due to a $3 million reimbursement that we received in 2017 from our insurance carrier for some damage to our turbine generator. Again, the reimbursement was received in 2017, and that payment didn't reoccur. Similar to the slides for the general fund, this gives a little different perspective where that revenue comes from. Our industrial and commercial customers, along with general service, small, medium, large, are certainly critical to our electric revenue, along with our residential at 24%. Revenue trends for the electric utility for the last 7 years, they're very consistent. Our customer base hasn't changed a whole lot in the last 7 years. With the exception of the red, which is our wholesale sales. It was declining. It's now stabilized the last 2 years. In 2018, we received $2 million for wholesale sales. In other years, that could be as high as $5 million. Expenditures for the electric utility. They did decrease a little over $1 million. Personnel, wages, and benefits, that is down as we're reorganizing through attrition to our new mode of operation where things are certainly changing there, and this is reflective of that. Materials and supplies were up. This is driven by purchase power. You'll see that a little better on the next slide. Contractual and utilities, that was down because the expenses in 2017 contained those turbo generator repairs that I just mentioned. They were relatively large and they didn't reoccur again in 2018. Reserve funds are down. In 2017, we did purchase two bucket trucks, and again, we also had some of our turbine repairs that inflated those reserve fund costs in 2017. This slide breaks out those expenditures again to make it a little easier to view. As you can see, purchase power accounted for 92% of our materials and supplies. This shows, again, the expenditure trends for the year. The electric utility, again, they're fairly consistent with the exception of, again, the blue column, which is materials and supplies. That's where our purchase power, again, is charged. Our reliance on purchase power continues to increase since our transition to natural gas. The only other anomaly would be in 2016, our reserve funds, which are in red, a little higher than normal, and that was due to the expenses associated with the natural gas conversion. And finally, for the electric revenue, 6 years of revenues and expenditures. In all years, our revenue did exceed expenses. Take a quick look at water. The water revenue did increase in 2018. That would be expected with the rate increase that was put into effect to fund some of our upcoming capital projects. Interdepartmental was the only area that decreased, and that's been happening over the past several years. Again, that's due to the change in operations at the power plant. We also did receive some grant proceeds in 2018, and that's reflected here. The sources for revenue almost split evenly between residential and industrial commercial. Revenue trends for the last 7 years, they're consistent with the exception of those interdepartmental receipts. That's in orange. As we started to see the decline in interdepartmental after the natural gas conversion in 2016, which caused less of a need for the water utility from the electric utility. Expenditures for 2018 did increase. The majority of that is due to the payoff of our bond anticipation notes in the amount of $300,000. The remainder of the difference is really being driven by the reserve funds, and that was for some of the costs that were associated with the replacement of the water line on High Street. Again, you can look at the areas that contribute to the water utility expenses. You can see why we work hard to pay down our debt service. 23% of annual expenses in 2018 were attributable to that debt service. Trends, fairly consistent again. The only exception to that would be in 2018. Reserve funds here, again, the High Street project, and in 2016 and 2018, those are our debt service payments to pay off the bond anticipation note. And finally, for the water, this, again, compares 6 years of revenue and expenses. 2016 was the only year that expenses slightly exceeded revenue, and that was because we made an additional payment on that bond anticipation note in hopes that in 2018 we could pay that off, and that did happen. Revenue for the wastewater, it increased $235,000. Just like our water utility, we would expect to see this with the rate increase that was imposed. That'll be necessary, or that is necessary, to fund the upcoming capital requirements that this utility has. The revenue sources looks very similar to our water when you combine industrial and commercial and food processors compared to the residential. Revenue trends are fairly consistent year over year, with the exception of the last 2 years. In 17 and 18, in the other category, the wastewater was reimbursed for some of the infrastructure costs after the sale of the lots in the industrial park, and that's recorded here. The only other significant changes in red, the penalty fees are decreasing. Expenditures were lower in 2018 for the wastewater. That's primarily due to the reserve fund, the spending on capital projects that was deferred in 2018. recap of the sources of expenditures, nothing unusual to report. It is a service utility, so without the debt, you would expect to see the majority of the expenses are related to personnel. This is the trends again, consistent with the exception of the reserve fund that I mentioned earlier. That's in the gold color. It does fluctuate year to year based on our capital needs. And the debt service in 2012 in red, that was the payoff of the wastewater debt service, again, another anomaly. When you compare revenues and expenses for the wastewater, you can see that the increase in capital needs in 2015 and 16 created some problems for us. That was alleviated with the rate change. Next are our debt service assessment and our fiduciary funds. And finally, at the bottom of the page, we do have our fund balance totals. Over all funds, the city had positive net income of $5.7 million for total fund balances of $67.8 million. I want to talk briefly about our debt. This slide shows a seven-year history. We do work aggressively to pay off any debt that is interest-bearing. At the present time, the city has $432,000 in debt for a zero-interest OPWC loan that was taken out for street repairs. The water utility has the remainder of the debt. The 2007 water system improvements, that balance is about $372,000. That is also zero interest debt for us. The revenue bonds at 2.125% interest, we owe just a little over $1.3 million. That is scheduled to be paid off in 2022, but with the balance that we've accumulated in our bond reserve fund, we should be able to retire that debt in 2021. So in total, we have $1.7 million in debt on the enterprise side and $432,000 on the tax-supported side. This slide simply shows the outstanding debt, the anticipated payoff, and also the interest rate. Our investments, really quickly, at the end of 2018, we have some investments with government agencies, CDARS. In other investments, we have commercial paper. We also have our electric and wastewater's internal investment with the water utility. So at the end of 2018, we had about $38.7 million invested. Our current investments are earning between 1.4 and 2.85%. As you know, we're very restricted in our investment options, so at this time we're happy with those returns. The information that I gave you tonight is an indication of our financial position. The statement of net position that's contained in the CAFR also is an excellent resource you can use for evaluating our financial performance. I did just want to mention that we received the GFOA Award of Excellence in Financial Reporting in 2018 for the 17th consecutive year. In 2018, we also received the Auditor of State Award of Distinction. That award is presented to less than 5% of municipalities. It's reflective of our commitment to responsible reporting, and I think that it demonstrates our efforts to be excellent stewards of our taxpayer dollars. I'd like to thank the Finance Department, my fellow directors, the mayor, and also council for their support in 2018, and thank all of you for your time this evening. Any questions? Okay. Thank you. I took it off just so you couldn't ask that question.
Thank you, Ms. Stremlin.
Thank you.
We're getting toward the end of our meeting. Does anyone have anything for the good of the order tonight? Mr. Corkman.
I move we adjourn.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Dorson.
Ms. Ferris Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Ferris Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Dorson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
That concludes our meeting for this evening. Thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned. No, we're going to get a big wave.
Yeah. I know you're going to get all the
Yeah.
Is it money or a run for it?
That's right. We do the budget.
That's right.
For a mascot.
He would be a great mascot. Actually, Cheryl, she did two.